before God and that our love for Him is a flame. So I greet you this morning in His name here at Fruitland Baptist Church. We have every reason to be thrilled and overwhelmed with joy about the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in Him. And so again, we're glad to see a nice group out on a warm, hot summer morning. So let's work together on this morning. There is no PowerPoint today, so we're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. Let's stand, hymn number 801, and we're going to sing about the wondrous depths of the greatness of our mighty God. How great thou art, number 801. Welcome once again to everyone, whether you be a regular or a visitor. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, the rolling thunder, thy power through display. Sing it out. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How right there for a minute. Have you considered this week in your time of meditation and Bible study alone with the Lord what a wonderful God He is? Have you noticed everything He's placed here for us? He is a wonderful God. Stanza 2. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, hear the birds sing sweetly in the tree. What's the first thing you hear in the morning other than the alarm clock or the air conditioner fan that reminds you of God's thank you very much? The birds will have the first opportunity to glorify God every morning as a new day comes. Stanza 3. And when I think that God is somewhat sparing, send Him to that's the third thing to think about. You notice the writer of the hymn, he began to think and praise God for Christ's work on the cross when he died for our sins. So let's see what he has to say now in stanza four. When Christ shall come, joy at the return of Christ. That is the hope we have today. Shall we pray together? Well, Father, we've just sung to you a beautiful hymn that surely shows us once again and reminds us of your worthiness of our worship. And so today, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne. With you in our presence, Jesus, where two or more are gathered to extol once again our love for you and the virtues and the goodness that make up your being. So I thank you today for those that have come out. I pray for our hearts today, Lord, that they'd be adjusted. And for the preaching, Lord, that the Holy Spirit might use it in our day. Lord, we certainly acknowledge our deficiencies before you today, both personally, even as a local church, and Lord, as a nation and a culture that has departed from you. Lord, thanks for your grace and benevolence, and I just again pray for those today that are traveling, or Lord, that may be ill, or may be facing difficulties in their life. It could be grief, could be many things today, Lord, that have affected the hearts of the people. And yet, Lord, you remain faithful and apparent to us this day in your love for us. So bless our time, Lord. We pray for our community. We know this, Lord, that in any given place today, there are many people who have chosen to reject you and to avoid you. But we know this, Lord, that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you indeed are Lord, to the glory of God your Father. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge that sooner than later. May you be pleased today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. I believe autumn is next.
Well, before we start this worship number together, if I could have the lights turned off in this front corner, Jeff, I think it'll help them see the words better. And then, boy, that was a great start to get us ready to worship the Lord, singing How Great Thou Art. I mean, God is amazing. Well, if you can still stand, it would be great if we stood for this song. And if you can't, that's fine. And we'll start with, there's three verses. On the first verse, this side is going to sing the question, and this side will sing the response. On the second verse, we'll switch, and we'll have the question here and the response here. And the third, we'll just switch again. The chorus and the refrain we'll all do together.
Shadows deepen, we do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do.
Okay, well, the question over here
is all creation groaning, it is.
Sing it out.
He is he worthy? Is he worthy? He is. He is. He is worthy. He is worthy.
That's one thing, it's never a waste of time to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain for our sins. Well, this morning we need to take a look at our announcements and offerings. Our announcements, we don't need to take a look at the offerings, but we need to thank God for the gift and the giver. So let's take a look at the right-hand side of our bulletins. And notice here, today is our monthly fellowship Sunday, so immediately following the morning service, go across to the fellowship hall. Everyone is invited, whether or not you brought anything, whether you're friend or foe, visitor or regular, that we will have plenty to eat. And then following at 1 p.m. will be our evening service, and that will be the end for the day. The evening service is the impossibility of losing our salvation. You might want to consider that. That's one of the most questioned biblical doctrines that you will find, at least one of them. Also, just a reminder about Bible school that you find listed there. And I believe that also runs from 5:30 to 8:30. Is that correct? Yes. And so 5 to 5:30 on the registration, but the classes will begin at 5:30. Be sure to talk to Lisa. There's still work that can be done. Kim and I will be going out in the evenings at least some of this week. We've had some flyers, and I know a group went out yesterday contacting people. So be engaged in that if you're interested in the souls of not only adults, but children as well. And those opportunities exist. Talk with Lisa about that. Also, you'll notice the decoration of the classrooms, the 6th, 7th, and 8th from 6 to 8 p.m. There is no Jesus Club for the month of August as those folks take a break. Women's Bible studies. Beth, can you give us the lowdown? The bulletin is correct, I believe, but our calendars are not correct that were handed out. So you'll want to set those things straight to avoid confusion, right? So bulletin today is correct. Calendars are incorrect. Men's Bible study, August 7th and also the 21st. Talk to me about that. And I'm certain that it'll go on. Also, a couple other things of importance. Up here I have the downloaded forms for the background checks with the DCI, Department of Criminal Investigation. Every worker must do those. You can do them online. I think we would prefer that we do them in hard copy. And let me just say, we're a week later than we were last week, so there's three copies up here. I will be up here after the service helping you get those. They're very important to get. And that be put into the mill very soon, if you haven't done so already. Don't forget that next Sunday also, this is not in the bulletin, there is a men's retreat meeting at 4:30 next Sunday afternoon. You can check out my thought for the week there and see if you can make any sense of it. But is there anything else that we need to announce that we haven't in the upcoming days? Yes, Lisa. All right, thank you. Let Lisa know if that's something that you could help with. Well, as we prepare now, as you're led through the scriptures and through the prosperity and all the criteria that God gives you, in our recognition of what he has already given us, this is an opportunity to give. Of course, we don't pass a plate. It's in the back. But I think we need to take time today to thank God for what he's given us and also to bless those that are returning to him. And we thank him for his faithfulness to us throughout all the years. And his book says he will always be faithful. He says he'll supply all our needs through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And many times, though, he gives us much more than our needs, does he not? So we have every reason, again, the theme of our message here so far is the worthiness of God and to give him thanks. So shall we pray together? Then we'll have a short time of meditation as the ladies play to see our hearts directed toward the Lord in this time of worship. Shall we pray? Father, this has been really good this morning as we're reminded of your goodness to us. Lord, we could sit for days and never run out of things to give you praise about. But Lord, today I ask your forgiveness for me, and I assume that others in this room experience those same kind of struggles. Lord, we tend to get sidetracked, and your adversary helps us in those areas to forget about your goodness. But Lord, today that's a reason why we need to be reminded often of your goodness. And when we get our thinking straight, Lord, we come to see you much more fully. I do pray today, Lord, that you'll be blessed here today by the adoration of the hearts, that there will be heartfelt worship that takes place here, that we will indeed acknowledge your goodness to us. Lord, again, as people are prepared to give this day and as they've seen the scriptures and know your heart and directive, I pray that you would bless the gift and the giver both. And we thank you that you have provided this means, Lord, for us to be able to give back to you. Thank you for the jobs, the employment, the material gain that you have provided for us. Lord, it's been wonderful. It really has. And so we thank you today and give you praise. Now, Lord, may our hearts be in a moment here or two of preparation as we prepare, Lord, to receive the word this day. And we'll ask these things, Lord, and thank you again in advance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Man, thank you, ladies. Open my eyes that I may see. I believe we have Emma now for a special. All right. Man, thank you so much. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that very much. It's an encouragement to me. The writer there, of course, of that hymn was saying, you know what, I don't have enough capacity. I wish I had more capacity to praise God. You know, we will not enter into heaven wishing we'd done less for the Lord. We still have a chance to do more. Anyway, we got to get started today. And this is part three of our message on S&G, Sodom and Gomorrah. And the title of this message is, How Low Can You Go? Or How Low Can It Go? And there's a few different things that we need to consider. Let me just say this. When we study any portion of Scripture, we don't want to get stuck in one track of what Scripture has to tell us. We need to look at the full impact of what it says. And so today, we are talking about the subject that took place in Sodom and Gomorrah, but there's more to it than that, and it's applicable today to an unbeliever that may be with us, but also a believer. And so after we pray, we'll delve into this. We'll go eat dinner. If we don't get done, Lord willing, we will. We'll come back another week, and I'll cause some more people frustration that print these bulletins. Anyway, it's good to have a nice group out this morning. I don't think we'll ever regret the time we spent today in God's Word. Let's pray. Father, I'm going to keep this simple this morning. It's been quite a week. Lord, I'm sure there are many people here that are suffering from the effects, Lord, of the heat and the many things that go along with life. But I pray today that we could put these things aside and focus on what your message is for us today from your Word. Lord, there's many applications that can be brought out of this, but we know this, Lord, it's there for a purpose, and it's to grow us and to change us and to make us think. And Lord, may that be the case, as the writer of Oh, for a Thousand Tongues illustrated. Lord, we can never have enough capacity to praise you. Now, Lord, you know this guy up here in the pulpit this morning. He needs help, and I know that it's your Spirit that can be the only thing that can see me to be able to deliver this for your profit. So I ask that help today, and Lord, may this message have relevance in our lives this day and bring glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, folks, as I said, there's a lot of applications that you can come at from this text this morning. This is found in Genesis 19. That's where we'll begin today. First book of the Bible, Genesis meaning beginnings. But we're talking about several principles that revolve around sin. Now, we've briefly mentioned the sin, and the Bible has many sins that are delineated specifically, the sin of homosexuality, and we will also incorporate that again today as we look through this. But I want to come back to something that may be a struggle for many more than that particular sin. And it's the sin of a Christian, one who had, in this day, a Christian, or in the day of Lot, one who had trusted God, by the way, it's the same thing, by faith, and his uncle Abraham, who had trusted God by faith, but it's when we get crossed up with God and we become backslidden. And I believe this, folks, on the basis of myself, that there is always that temptation to be backslidden, to go through the motions, to not be engaged with the Lord as we should be. But, you know, as we look through this, we can certainly see where Lot, and we will see that again today, Lot was a believer, but he had drifted far from God. As I observe myself and our culture around us today, I believe there could be many people that are born again in Jesus Christ. But that's about all they are, because they've really walked away from anything that has to do with what God would have them to do. And as I illustrated in our first message, that is one of the most dangerous positions Pastor John or any of the rest of us we can put ourselves. And I illustrated the fact that the Bible says there is a sin unto death, meaning this, that God may say, this is enough, my son, my child. You will not go on like this. You're going to go to heaven, but you're going to be done. And he'll take us home. Well, in the case of Lot here, and part of his family at least, God's grace and mercy, we've talked about that in the last several weeks, still prevailed. But as far as the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, God removed them with no trace that they ever existed. and his judgment for all of us, and I'm warning myself here too, his judgment could fall on any of us, as I mentioned, in the sense that our time might be up. So the question I have as we start today is, how low can we go? And the truth of the matter is, even for a believer, we may be allowed to go quite low. And that's proven out as well in this account with Lot. So today, Genesis 19, I want to tell you right off the bat, this is an adult subject that we will be dealing with today. I'll try to deal with it with grace. And the things that we want to look at then today are indeed what took place in the account of Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember the context? There were three angels that showed up at Abraham's house, or Abraham's, I believe it was at this time, right? Help me again here. It was Abraham, wasn't it now? Yeah, not Abram. Yeah, the change had already taken place. Three angels showed up, and we find out what? That one of those angels was who? The pre-incarnate Jesus Christ manifested himself. And you can read backwards. I won't go back and recant the whole thing. But you see, Abraham and Sarah were in the presence of angels. Angels come to make announcements, angelos of the Greek, messengers. And the first message was the message to Sarah that she's going to have a kid at 90, just like God said in Abraham, the old duffer, at 100. And God comes through, folks. I want to tell you, he will not come through on everything he said. Anyway, the second announcement is that God had heard the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's going to deal with it. And so Abraham asked him, how far will you go? We looked at that last week. So now we know that God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah, those two cities, if how many people would have been living for him? 10 people. And we related that God spared Noah and his family 8 Wilton mathematics. There we go. 8 souls when he destroyed the world the first time through flood as the consequences of sin, destruction. Interestingly enough, God gave a preview of what's coming for this old earth in Sodom and Gomorrah, because the next time God's going to finish this earth off before it is reinvigorated and made new again is through fire. And you can take a look at that too. It's found in Scripture. So let's go to the context this morning, because we've got to keep moving. Genesis 19, 1 through 29. I started with this again. And so now the pre-incarnate Christ stayed with Abraham for a while, but the two angels went over to visit Sodom. So let's see what happens here. Verse 2. We'll start with 1. I think we did it already. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. I told you all that last week, but Lot was a big shot in that city that was filled with wickedness. Meaning what? We know the Bible says he was saved by faith, but he was what? He was deeply involved with the sin of that city. Because what? He held a high place by sitting in the gate of that city. He was well thought of amongst the people. By the way, let me just say this morning. If you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian and you stand for anything, you will not be highly sought after by people in general, because they do not see you in a positive light. They see you in a light that means that their sin is exposed when you do the opposite. And it brings them into a guilty perspective. And people, my friends, don't like to be made to feel guilty. They want to think that anything goes and everything's all right with me. So understand this, you have two choices, and I do as believers. If you're a believer here today, you're either going to live for the Lord and be separated to him and do it his way, and you'll be rejected by most of the people. Doesn't have to be. You can still love them. You can still, and that's my problem. I got to be kind to people. Or you know what? You can be a part of them. And I'll tell you what, Lot paid a heavy price for this. And the nation of Israel did in the future. All right, here we go. So it's nighttime, right? What do you do at night? Well, some people do. But anyway, the idea is Lot notices these two angels. He recognized them in the sense that they were messengers from God. And so what's Lot do? In verse 1 there, it says, he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He understood the gravity of who these messengers were from God. See, Lot knew There's a lot of us here this morning maybe that are here. We know, right? The knowing is easier than the doing. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." So Lot's saying what here behind? You can talk a little this morning too. Well, you can always talk with me. Lot's saying, get in here, let's have our time and then get out. Why? Or his own sin. That's right. He does not want to be called into question about his own situation. But we know because of how he acted that he knew he was what? He was in the wrong. He had transgressed against God in this case and the holiness of God for a man that knew better. But he didn't practice better. Isn't it interesting? Have any of you ever been caught in a situation like this? I'm always admitting to you, see, one of these days you're going to pull the plug on me because you say, "Pastor, what kind of a guy are you?" I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like you are if you're saved. Don't give me this song and dance. There I am talking about dancing again. That we're somehow above this stuff, because we're not. We have the same types of struggles that we deal with here as Lot, or we could have. Anyway, but Lot, the God's angels argue with him, and they say, "Oh no, Lot, but we'll just stay out in the street tonight." Oh, what do you think Lot thought? You're dealing with a bunch of people that are debased here in their sinful lifestyle. That if they were to remain in the street that night, they would see full blown what was going on in that city. So what's Lot do? Well, it says here in verse 3, he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him. So what I'm seeing here is that Lot's, "Oh, no, no, we would not want you out in the street. We want you in the house. Our house is open to you. The hospitality there, we want you in with us tonight." Do you get that? Because Lot knew what went on in the street in Sodom. I'm speaking to myself here first. But is God always pleased by the places that we go? No. And I'm not just talking physical places, but I'm talking even mental places. And the answer to that is no. Would you want to meet Jesus in many situations we find ourselves in? And the answer to that is no, I would not. Please forgive me, Lord. So they came in into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. I'm sure he put on a feast extraordinaire for them. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Why would people be so interested in visitors to that city? I'm going to tell you why, and it may be somewhat blunt. Again, this city was recorded to be a center for homosexual activity, and we're talking here in the male sense in this case, and they were excited to see some new prospects. Did you all get what I'm talking about here? New fodder for the mill, so to speak. By the way, if you don't know what fodder is, fodder's corn. Corn stalks and ears that are still attached to it. And when you put them through a chopper, and then you put them up for silage. But they were looking for some new material. What do you think about something like that? But notice what happens here. They were both old and young. They encircled the whole house from all parts of the city. I want to tell you something clearly, and you know this is out for public knowledge. The movement of homosexuality in America today is anything but innocent and bland. Homosexuality in its history is militant. And you will never put past, with many of these issues that we have today, the potential for militant action. Don't ever forget that. And it was the same thing here. It is not a gentle environment. Verse 5, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. So what we find here is that they said, well, we'd like to meet these guys. We'd like to say hello. Welcome to our city. That's not what it says at all. We want to what? We want to sexually be involved with these guys. That's what the word new or know often means in the King James Version. We want a new conquest tonight. Well, Lot's really in a bind here, isn't he? And Lot opened the door and visited with them. No, he didn't, did he? What's it say? And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. Why? He might have been scared, but even more, again, he didn't want the angels to see and hear what was going to be going on out there. He tried to camouflage his backslidden condition. By the way, folks, camouflage is used for a lot of things. It's also used when we try to cover our sins. But I want to tell you something. There is nothing short of the blood of Jesus Christ that can cover our sins. Adam and Eve even tried it, didn't they? Didn't I remember an account here a few chapters back, sowing leaves and all that kind of? I want to ask you, what happened when the leaves withered? Well, fortunately, the Lord didn't allow that to happen because he covered them with skins, I believe, of a lamb who shed its blood. Again, sacrificially, substitutionally, in the stead of the blood of Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve believed that redemption that was sent through those lambs. They put those coats on. Anyway, Lot goes out and shuts the door. And now he starts to negotiate. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. By the way, these are probably Lot's youngest daughters if you read the context. He had other daughters too. But he said, these are virgins. Now, I don't want to get graphic here this morning, but when you're dealing with a bunch of debased men, this would be very attractive. Enough said? I mean, I've got some young folks here, Marilyn. I know this would be pretty hard for you at 90. Marilyn's not having any laugh about that this morning, but she'll get glad eventually. Lot is offering his daughters to this bunch of people. By the way, folks, when we live in this type of a scenario, we are offering our sons and daughters because of our debased activity. See, this backslidden activity. But anyway, I'll give you my daughters, they're virgins. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you. And think of this. On Father's Day, this is your classic good dad. Do them whatever is good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Lot's going to give his virgin daughters to this bunch and tell them to do whatever they want if they will not touch the angels. Well, that didn't pacify him, did it? Because what did they say? Stand back, Lot. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge now. In other words, Lot was a stranger in Sodom. And now he's beginning to pass judgment on these guys that came to the door, when beforehand he was what? He was complicit with them. Let me tell you, these people know this stuff too. They said, what's going on with this guy? He's a stranger here, and now he's turning on us. And so it says here, now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. In other words, they were going to go through that door no matter what. But God's intervention. But the men, that's the angels, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. How many of us here this morning need God's angels to pull us back through the door? This shows you that God still loved Lot. He did not want. What is God doing today to pull us through back through the door? I believe He is in all of our lives. He doesn't want us to go on with this. Verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides a son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. The angels told Lot, get your family and get them out of here, because God's going to take this thing down. Now let's see the condition of the family. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law. By the way, do you think these angels were surprised by Lot's condition? No. But this is how far God will go to rescue His people. And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, this is how we know that Lot had older daughters besides those younger ones. Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But notice here the last sentence in that verse. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. See, Lot was crossed up in his threads. His practice and his talk before had been all in favor of Sodom around his family. But now when it came time for he started to tell them the truth, and they said, what? Well, you're crossed up, man. You tell us this here and tell us another thing there. And when the morning arose, verse 15, the angels hastened Lot. Now, I have to be careful what I say, but most of you know I like to rise early in the morning. And I also know there's a considerable amount of people that don't want to get up and get going in the morning, unless they have to. But notice in this passage, morning arose, the angels hastened Lot. Lot was still backslidden, even though he'd had a good wake-up call. The angels had to shake him up. If someone came to you today and told you a certain thing was going to take place and that you better take action now, I believe there are people that would say, oh, well, I'll just wait, see what happens. They'd have the Doris Day, the doctrine of Doris Day. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. Let me tell you, we live in a culture today that's adopted that very thing. They're so blinded and so lazy, they won't even get up to do anything to help themselves. And when the morning arose, the angels pushed Lot, get up, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, the younger girls, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And yet verse 16 says Lot did what? And while he lingered, he still couldn't get with it. I don't think he got it. You'd have to say he liked Sodom, wouldn't you? The men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being, read it folks, merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. You know what? Lot couldn't even get up the gumption to get out of that town, to get out of that lifestyle and that area. God had to literally drag him out. Aren't you thankful for a God who I believe would drag us out of our sin? Are you willing to go with Him willingly and step away from it? God had to literally drag Lot away from that situation. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life and look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. Okay? I'm going to show you in this text here today before we're done. He told Lot to head for the mountains. Now remember last week I told you about that name Zoar. We saw that earlier. Zoar means? Good. Someone was listening, or a few were. Little. But here it is. Lot says, oh no, Lord, I don't want to go up in the mountains. I want to go to Zoar. It's a little city. It's okay. It won't take me too far away. It's not like going up in the mountains and getting away from all this stuff, which is what God's calling us today to get up to the mountain. Amen. See? But we resist. Anyway, here it is. Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so much. No, don't make me do this, Lord. Angels, behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy," okay, acknowledge that, "which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." Oh, really, Lot? God's just saved you, and you still are going to resist and think it's going to be worse up on the mountain out of this environment? Come on. So he argues for that. "Behold," verse 20, "now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." I want to go to Zoar because that's where I want to be. I want to stay in the proximity of where I've lived. Folks, if you and I are struggling with sin issues, we got to go to the mountain. We can't continue to live in the proximity of our struggles. This applies to all kinds of issues regarding sin. It takes critical action. But for many, if not most, we don't want to give it up and go to the mountain, who is God, and get away. It's the doctrine of separation. God teaches us all the time. Not taught in the churches very much anymore. Oh, we want to get along. We want to make it all happen with everyone. No, no, no. We are to be separated unto God, and we are to be separated from the world. I had grandchildren that went to the fair this year with cattle, and I did get over there for a few hours. Regrettably, that was all the time I could get there. But as I look at our culture today, I see our culture separated unto the world, but not from God. Not in every case, but folks, it's becoming less and less that way. You don't even see externally who God's people are anymore. We are in that environment today. Go to the mountain. Verse 21, "And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken." God says, well, it isn't what I told you, but it's what? I'll let it go. Remember the things we've talked about for a few weeks? God's grace and God's mercy. God's long-suffering. Haven't we read that before? "Haste thee," he says in verse 22, "escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither." He says, get going and get there to that city. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar, meaning small or little. "The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar." By the way, what time do you think the angels shook Lot? Well, it said in the morning. I think he got shook early in the morning, like a little after midnight. Start of a new day. God wants us to get removed from these things earlier than later. The more I see of our culture is a culture that does not operate on a given time. It operates in the time they want it to be. But let me tell you something, folks. Situation ethics and the culture that we find ourselves in today is not the way God operates. His time, his dates, his demands are precise in many cases. Our world has come to the point where people may arrive 2 hours late for something, and they don't think a thing about it because that's the time they want to operate in. But let me assure you, God operates by his schedule. He only deviates from it through his grace and his mercy. The reason I say that, verse 23, "The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot got to Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven." Sulfur and fire is basically what that probably is. "And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." Remember how we started this whole thing out? When Lot first looked at that area, and again, he coveted that area when he had a choice. He didn't defer to Uncle Abraham. He took the best, and it was a good place, but look what man's sin did to the blessings of God. Now it's toast. "He overthrew the cities, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Basically, that's what that area south of the Dead Sea is today, is a salt flat. It's a muck hole. And what it amounts to is she wanted to stay there. She still liked that. Her bones are still there. Her residue are right there because she turned around. And there was no more grace and mercy for Lot's wife. Good old Abraham, notice here in 27, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Now, if Denny was here today, they're on a trip. That's one of Denny's big things he always tell us. Bible study, time with the Lord comes when? Early. Abraham, I don't know if he ever noticed this, had the same thoughts there. And he looked, this is verse 28, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Bottom line. That sin, we know that we're talking about, this is only a part of it, but the big story here is about Lot and his backslidden condition. But we know this, that sin, among all sins, but there are some that are categorized, as I mentioned, that strike at the creative heart of God. You know, like these things that say he created us male and female. All these gender issues and things today strike at the heart of God's creative work in his capstone of the creation, which is man. And let me just say this, he does not look favorably when people tinker with his work. You can put that to a lot of things. It's even how we handle ourselves, how we present ourselves, how we decorate ourselves. Let me tell you this today, folks. There are some things in nature that we have to use. I don't wear makeup. Are any of you shocked about that? But I have some defects, and so do you. And it isn't wrong, necessarily, to tinker with those things. But let me tell you, folks, if you're playing around with what... God didn't make junk. What he made is beautiful. You see, the fact of the matter is, though, what do people want to do? We want to defy God's creation through our own process and say, it's a part of how I want to be, not a part of the way God designed me. We detract from the glory of God. So yes, I'm going to tell you unequivocally that God is not in favor of homosexuality. But he does love sinners. So that's the public, that's where I stand. No more than I would endorse stealing or any other thing. By the way, stealing will never go out of favor. You read my little thought for the week last week. Anyone get their head wrapped around that yet? I had a few questions about it. But the fact of the matter is, the big part of this story is about a backslidden man who had placed his trust in Almighty God, and that was Lot. Now, we got 5 minutes left. We're going to come back for a part four. Jeff, be sure Kathy knows that. Yeah. We're going to look again at God's warning to us in a couple of passages. But let me just say this before we depart. God told Lot to get up to the mountain. Did he not? Lot said, nope, I'm going to go to Zoar. God says, okay. Just like Burger King, have it your way. But I want to show you here in verse 30 of that chapter. You see it? And Lot went up out of Zoar and... Isn't it interesting how God's ways are going to prevail? But they weren't in the way God intended. Again, we have an immature audience here today, and I'm one of them. But Lot went up and committed more sinful acts of the same venue of what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe we'll see Lot in heaven. But I'll tell you what, folks, Lot was far gone. He was far gone. You can read the context there, but as I said last week, the descendants of Lot in this relationship with those two daughters that he offered to the folks there in Sodom have been historically enemies of the nation of God's people of Israel. Even some of those descendants to this very day. You see, when God tells us something, he doesn't say it just to talk. He says it because he'll not only provide a way, but he wants us to get it right. Now let me just say this. We'll go on with this next week, Lord willing. But what's God talking to us about today, each and every one of us individually? Or as a church? Or as a nation? You apply any place you want into that. The principles that we get from this account, this historical account of what took place, are vast. Let me just say this simply before we close today. If you are here apart from salvation in Jesus Christ, go to the mountain. When?
Now.
God's still being gracious and merciful with you here this morning. You can still go to the mountain. By the way, you'll end up at the mountain eventually. But it won't be in the way you'll want. Because it won't be seeing Jesus who says, "Welcome home, my son." You're going to see him with fire in his eyes on the great white throne judgment. And he's going to say, the stuff that you've been thinking you've done right and that are going to get you into heaven, don't cut it with me. And therefore, you will go to your Sodom and Gomorrah, which is called hell, the lake of fire. Second thing, though, this morning for all of us, and you know, I'm always standing down front here. I've told you that. It's not just because you've put me in this position or the Lord has to be your preacher. It's because I need to be. How many of us are in a situation or have situations in our lives where we know that we need to run away, but we're still what? Put yourself in a position a lot. Learn from his mistakes. Jesus is waiting today to help us. I admit to you, I need that help, but I also know you do too. We're all in this together. So this morning, quite a few things to think about. We're going to close. You've got the idea, right? Or do you want me to speak another 5 or 10 minutes? I smell some food. But you know what? Don't take for granted God's grace and mercy in our lives today. He's a great God. He is worthy. The principles are there. We may know it, we may have heard it, but is it real? Amen. Let's take our hymnals today and stand. 619. 619. Old familiar hymn. You know, Jesus hung for us. My question is, are we going to stand for him? It's a good day. I'm up here alone a lot of the time. We can have some good fellowship right up here this morning. Who's with me? Who's ready to stand for Jesus in the day that we live? And make, oh wow, someone's going to really look down on you if you come forward sometime. No, they're going to say, maybe I need to do that. And Jesus is going to come over you with the Spirit will come over you with a feeling like none other that you'll be flying on cloud 9, because you took a step for Jesus. Don't be like Lot. Don't make God have to drag you. Come to him today. Head to the mountain. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. Autumn, thanks for coming forward today.
Yeah.
His army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Let me assure you, Jesus is on duty for the rest of the day and in the time to come, as long as his grace and mercy last. Maybe it'd be a better thing than to go feed our face to spend a little time with him prior to that. Anyway, you're invited for lunch. I'm going to be visiting with these folks this morning. If you can't stay, have a great week in the Lord. If you can, I'll see you over here. Let's see. Jason, would you close us out in prayer today?
Lord, I pray.